This episode of A Productive Conversation is sponsored by Uplift Desk. In today's work environment, it's essential to find balance and promote well-being, and Uplift Desk is here to make that a reality. With a focus on ergonomics and innovative design, Uplift Desk offers standing desks that not only encourage healthier work habits, but also enhance your overall productivity. Each desk is built with unmatched stability and quality, ensuring that your workspace is both dynamic and durable. The beauty of Uplift Desk lies in its extensive customization options, allowing you to select from a vast array of desktops and accessories to fit your specific work needs and aesthetic preferences. Additionally, Uplift Desk is committed to customer satisfaction, offering fast shipping, free returns, and a 15-year warranty. Transform your office and your health by visiting UpliftDesk.com/timecrafting for 5% off your order. That's UpliftDesk.com/timecrafting to get 5% off your entire order. With Uplift Desk, you're not just investing in a piece of furniture, you're investing in a healthier, more productive future. Again, go to UpliftDesk.com/timecrafting to get 5% off your order today.
Hi, I'm Neil Williams, and I'm about to have a productive conversation with Mike Vardy.
Welcome to A Productive Conversation. If you listened to the show last week and you're an episode subscriber, then you're like, Neil Williams, I'm looking forward to Neil being on the show. You may not necessarily be expecting what you're going to hear today. This is a great conversation. It's about unbusying your life. This was another conversation that's been in the can for a little while. We had a really great show, great conversation. There's a lot of simpatico synergy, all that stuff going on during our conversation. I'm really excited to bring it to you. I'm excited to bring all episodes to you, but this one, as I went back listening to the episode to put together the show notes, I'm like, oh, this is one that it's another piece of gold. And I'm glad I can bring it to you today. Here's my conversation with Neil Williams. Here on A Productive Conversation. Enjoy. Neil, thanks so much for taking the time to join me on the program.
Thanks so much for having me, Mike.
All right. Right out of the gate, as we get in this conversation, I'm going to go in a place that you maybe didn't necessarily expect, but that's okay, because it was a fascinating thing as I was reading about you. How in the world did you break your legs?
Oh my gosh, I don't know how you got that story, but yes, I ran to the point that I broke them, and then I kept running on them, making them worse.
So the reason I want to start there is that there's a relentless element to a lot of people that listen to the show, a lot of the guests that I've had to. There's this perseverance, there's this resilience, there's a relentlessness to them.
Yep.
But there is a quote breaking point, and you literally had a breaking point. What led to the point of you saying, you know what? I'm not saying that you didn't care that your legs were broken, but the point is that what led to the point of where you're like, you know what? This is just who I am. You're so driven to the point where you almost drove yourself to the point of frankly, irreparable damage to a degree.
Totally. It is, I'm high achieving, like probably everyone who's listening to this podcast is, and I have a really high threshold. And so I've just always known, like, I can handle a lot. And in this particular case, it was, I could handle pain. I didn't know that my legs were broken. I just knew I was having a lot of pain. And I was actually in Seattle doing a marathon when the pain was so excruciating, I could hardly handle it, but I did not want to not finish. So I made myself finish. And then I went to a doctor the next day. And then I saw that both my legs were broken. I ended up in walking casts for about 8 weeks.
And what was the lesson there for you? Like, what was it like? Was that a turning point for you?
Yeah, it really was. Even though we as high achievers can push ourselves really beyond the limits, it's a matter of being discerning of when that makes sense. And I know this is a ridiculous example, right? Breaking your legs. But I think this happens every day in our everyday life in the things that we do. Like, what makes sense for me to push myself beyond my limits? And maybe I don't need to push myself beyond my limits in every single aspect of my life. Maybe I can be discerning about what makes sense, and that changes over time.
Well, and I think sometimes it takes that extreme, quote, like, unreasonable thing
to have you go, whoa. Like, I mean, I just had, as we're recording this, you know, and I know we try to keep these things timeless, but I had an ECG for the first time, not too long ago. Now I have family history with stuff like this. So it wasn't like, let's do this, but it was a result of me having like some, you know, some tightness and stuff. I'm like, huh. And, it turned out it was fine, but there was a signal there. There was a signal of like, what are you doing? And it wasn't about me not doing the right things every single day. Like it was, had nothing to do with the productivity aspect, had everything to do with my health, had me thinking like, am I consuming too much alcohol? Am I eating the right foods? And it's fascinating that the correlation between the nervous system and the body and the brain and how the brain goes, hey, I can do this. And the body goes, hold up. And this would be that extreme example for you, right? But sometimes it takes that extreme, that extreme example or that quote, forced epiphany to kind of make you make a change, right?
Yeah, totally. And I think now, because I had that, it's such a good, great point, because yes, it is extreme and people think crazy things about me when they hear that story, but then it's translated into other aspects of my life, right? So not just physical pain, but now I can look at emotional pain and what makes sense. Do I want to put myself in a situation where I'm going to be highly anxious or I'm going to feel like really stressed or overwhelmed? And sometimes it does make sense and I do want to do that, but I'm just a lot more discerning about it and really vote for loving my reason why if I'm going to put myself in those positions.
And this leads me to the talking about unbusy, which I love. I love the phrase unbusy. So I hate the phrase busy because busy has been bastardized over the years, right? Like the idea of busy and productive. First off, both words kind of are tick me off to a degree now. Not because they aren't, there isn't value in them. No, but you know what I mean? Like there's value in them, but it's like inbox zero or any of these other words. Like it's, they've been commoditized to the point where they're being used as either measuring sticks, false measuring sticks, right? Or they're being like, I mean, and again, we can allude to the whole running thing. I've ran one 8K. And I made it through the 8K and I'm like, okay, I've done this now. Like, you know what I mean? Like that was my measuring stick. And someone's like, are you going to do, do the half marathon now? I'm like, why? They're like, well, because you've done the eight. So do the, I'm like, no, but that's like, I have heard, and my wife's a healthcare, like she works in healthcare and she's done some studies on this. She goes, you run so far, your body chemistry starts to change. Like the body starts to, she goes, you don't need to do like, all I wanted to prove is that I could do it. And I think when it comes to busy and productive is people, they use those terms as badges of honor when in some instances they can be, they are detrimental. So when did you decide to dive into the idea of being unbusy?
I think it really started when I was in my own, I was in a corporate job and I was working the proverbial 60, 80 hour work week. And I was a mom and I was really struggling and I didn't want to do that. And so I decided to make a change. I just decided I'm going to figure out how to do this job in less time and stop telling myself that I'm too busy for the life that I actually want to live. And I did do that. And what I realized was it's not necessarily busy is almost like a mindset. Mm. It's almost like an identity that we take on rather than being all the things that we do in our time. I am under the belief that the reason we have all the things that we do, our schedules look so packed, is because we're too busy in our own brains to be discerning enough to know what we want to cut out and what we want to keep. So for me, it stems with a mindset.
And the world loves to help with that too. The world loves to, I was just talking to somebody about this. The world loves to fill that space. The world loves to grab your attention because if you, and it's hard when you unbusy yourself. Okay. So when you did this, what did it feel like at first? Because I imagine it was probably uncomfortable at first, right?
Yeah, that was the exact word I was going to use, is it was uncomfortable because I'm not used to it. And I had space and I was feeling other feelings like boredom. And I think what happens is we kind of like detox from that busyness. And then we're like, okay, now what do I do with myself? And what we learn, at least through my journey, what I learned was to listen to my own mind and to see myself for my first time and understand myself for the first time. And what I realized, quite frankly, is I didn't like a lot of things about my life. And so I didn't even know that because I was too busy to even be conscious or present to what was going on. So I didn't even know what was going on, really. So that was like first step. It's like, oh, I actually don't like this job.
Yep.
I learned, right? Like, I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. And then it was a matter of, okay, seeing that, you have to like give yourself the space, the brain space to see it first and then decide, okay, now I have the time to be able to make a change. And I did. I went and I got certified as a coach. I started a business. And I like literally my life looks so different now than it did 10 years ago. It's like unrecognizable. It's like I'm living a whole different version of life. But I never would have known that that was possible or that I even wanted that had I not taken the time to like just clear out and have the space to think and see what it is that I didn't like about my life so that I could change it.
When I had Juliette Funt on the show, she wrote the book, A Minute to Think. She was talking about white space. And I think that when, you know, when you talk about like the idea of unbusying, which again, I think that that's such a powerful term because it, we hear the word busy so much, but other than discomfort, what tried to fill the spaces that you were providing? There must have been some other stuff there because the world, it's conspiring against you. So there's got to have been some other stuff that filled the space.
This episode of A Productive Conversation is sponsored by Prolon. If you've ever considered fasting for its health benefits but can't face the idea of days without food, Prolon offers a novel solution. It's a nutrition program that simulates the effects of fasting while allowing you to eat. Developed by scientists at the USC Longevity Institute, Prolon supports weight management, enhances physical performance, and bolsters gut health through a meticulously crafted 5-day meal program. This isn't just another diet. It's a lifestyle change backed by Nobel Prize-winning research, designed to trigger cellular rejuvenation and promote overall well-being. I can't wait to put it through the paces. The meals, ranging from savory soups to nutritious snacks, are all designed to ensure your body achieves a fasting state with the energy you need to maintain your daily routine. Prolon is convenient, providing everything in a single box delivered to your doorstep. I am anxiously awaiting mine. I encourage you to check out Prolon as well. If you're ready to see how Prolon can change the way you think about fasting and nutrition, then right now, Prolon is offering A Productive Conversation listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Go to prolonlife.com/timecrafting. That's prolonlife.com/timecrafting for this special offer. Head over to prolonlife.com/timecrafting to get started today. This episode of A Productive Conversation is sponsored by Shopify. Dreaming of starting your own business or looking to take your current one to the next level? Shopify is here to make that dream a reality. As the leading e-commerce platform, Shopify empowers you to start, grow, and manage your business with ease. From setting up your online store to scaling globally, Shopify provides all the tools you need to succeed in the marketplace. Customize your storefront, manage your inventory, and connect with your customers all in one place. With direct-to-consumer pricing, same-day shipping, and a global community of entrepreneurs, Shopify supports your journey at every step. Are you ready to transform your business idea into a success story? Visit shopify.com/timecrafting to start your free trial and embark on your entrepreneurial journey with Shopify. That's shopify.com/timecrafting to start your free trial. Do it today.
Yeah, I think what I had to really be careful of was when I was feeling bored, our inclination is to like do something to cover up or get rid of the bored feeling, right? And also the discomfort of like, oh, I've created this life. I've spent like a lot of time. I've actually spent a lot of money. I've spent about a lot of my life to build my life to this point, and I don't even like it. And just reconciling that with myself. And so things that like, I noticed I was wanting to do would be just like, well, it's just easier if I go back to work, if I just work more, because that's just so programmed.
Yeah, no, I can tell you just real quick.
Sounds wild, but it's what happens.
No, it's true because there have been moments in my journey with what I do here, where I remember distinctly when Target was opening up in Canada, and thankfully I didn't listen to that voice because it didn't last long here in Canada. But I remember driving past the Target, which was not too far from my house, and they had a big help wanted sign, like, we're hiring. And my brain, part of my brain went, wouldn't it just be so much easier if you just did that? Like, just go, you'll get the regular paycheck. You have history at Costco. They're going to love that about you. There's going to be, you're going to be, there will be no, you will be paid for the value that at that, like, there were just so many things. And then my brain went, the part that thankfully took hold was like, wait a minute, you left that for this reason. Yes, what you're doing now is hard, but come on, Mike. And that's, how do you help people? Because I know you work with clients too. Make sure that that voice of higher reason, the one that like helped you get to that point, stays on top of things as opposed to falls prey to the, wouldn't it just be easier if we did this? And, oh, well, what if we fill it with this? And then, you know, we're doing things. So therefore we are productive as opposed to, oh yeah, but now like it's all empty calories.
Right. It's such a brilliant question. And so what I did for myself, and this is what many of my clients do this as well. Once you carve out space, making a commitment to not fill it back up for at least a period of time, letting yourself live in that space and really just learn what it's there to teach you, what you didn't know about was going on for yourself or in your own mind before you immediately fill it back up. So it's really like prolonging that decision. Like you might say to yourself, oh my gosh, Target's, that's an amazing idea. Let's do that. But instead of acting on that immediate reaction, we kind of pump that decision. Cause then you want to think about like, okay, how is the 60 days from me going to feel about that? Mm-hmm. Right. Like in really thinking about, instead of acting from where you're feeling right at this moment, thinking about your future and voting for what the future you want. That's how you get out of your, what we call, I call the toddler brain. It's the primitive brain, which is the in the moment brain, and into the higher quality part of the brain, which is the prefrontal cortex, which I call the adult part of the brain, and let it run the show. Is you think about the future you. That takes you into the higher quality part of your brain.
Yeah, the survive versus the thrive, right? Like the idea of like, because that's, exactly. And this goes back exactly. to, I mean, we could talk about Maslow's hierarchy of needs and all that stuff when it comes to this stuff. But yeah. I want to shift gears and talk about being like the idea of the word productive. We talked about busy. Yeah. We're on a podcast. We're talking. It's called A Productive Conversation. My name brand is Productivityist. So clearly I don't have I have a love-hate relationship with the word productive and productive because I think, again, it's been corrupted. What does productive yep. look like to you?
Yeah. So I agree with you. I think that word is really charged. So I sometimes have a hard time using it as well, just because of the connotation people have around it. In my opinion, the way that I think about productive is I decide what I want to get done and I decide how long I want to give myself to get it done. And like it, to me, it's an internal decision. And if I've done that, if I execute that well, I decided this is the thing that I'm going to get done and I'm going to get it done in this 1 hour and I execute on that, I'm productive in my own mind because I made those decisions and then I executed, I followed through on those decisions. So my definition might be a slightly different than what other people think about productivity, but that's where I come at it.
But I think to your point is that, again, we can shift this back to unbusying your schedule and all that stuff, is that I think people, what they'll confuse is if I get as much done as possible in the day, it's productive. And that's certainly not the case. And I think that when you unbusy yourself, you leave the room for the real productivity to happen.
And I think one of the things that people don't realize so much, one of the most productive things that I think we can do with our time, where we are right now as humans and our involvement, is to think. And I don't think people think about thinking as an actual activity, like a task that we do. But when you don't think, you're just in constant reaction mode. You're on autopilot. Nothing really changes if you don't push the pause button and stop to think about what you want to do in your time, about how many things you want to accomplish, about how long you want to give yourself to accomplish those things. It's the thinking piece that in my mind precipitates the productivity.
So here's a quick question because I just finished reading Joshua Becker's Things That Matter. And he he's been a recent guest on the podcast as well. And he talked, there's a point in there where I think I want to say it's Plato. It might've been Socrates. One of them says that the idea of stopping to write things down is not a good idea because it interrupts the thinking time. Now, I'm a big believer in capture everything, regret nothing, because if I get it out of my head, then I'm leaving space for the thinking to happen. So I got two questions for you. Thoughts on that, like getting things out of your head so you can assess them. But also, there's going to be somebody listening to this right now. Maybe it's you that says, okay, but how much time do I give myself to think? Like how much time? Because again, we live in a world that's like do, right? Not be. Totally. Those two questions, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah. Yeah. I love those questions. And I think there are different ways to approach this. So I totally am with you on the dumping everything out of your mind. The brain is not made to store things, it's made to process things.
Yep.
So when we keep all the stuff inside the brain, we literally, it's like gumming it up and it like doesn't work as well. So this is part of what I call hygiene, like mind hygiene, is regularly dumping the stuff out. So that's not like incapacitating you from being able to process information in the way that your mind was designed to do that. So I do that regularly. I do that in terms of like, I do what's called a done download. Like, what do I want to get done this week? I usually do that once per week. I do it for the month, the quarter, the year, whatever. But then I also every single day also just like do a quick 5-minute brain dump about like what's in my brain right now. Like just getting it out on a piece of paper so that it's not like in my way of being able to think about what I want to do and execute on what I want to get done for that day. So I think there's that piece of it, is cleaning that out so that your brain can work the way it was designed to function.
Right.
Number one. And then I love the question about how much time. I think this is the question why I don't like the how much time question. I think it's the wrong question.
I'm not disagreeing with you on that, by the way, but I know that that's the question.
Right. I know. That's what everyone says. It's like they ask, I get a client and they're like, okay, I have this project, but I don't know how long to schedule out to get it done. Like as if the project will tell them, like, you know, like there's a right answer. There's no right answer. It's just how long do you want to give yourself? Mm-hmm. So I like to think about this a little bit differently. Instead of like how much time should I set aside, maybe it is what is the problem I want to solve? And I want to give myself 15 minutes to think through that. What is the new idea that I want to come up with? Especially if you're an entrepreneur, you're in this creative mode a lot. Like that is how we make money, is to think in creative ways, right? So you even could sit down and just say, okay, I have 15 minutes and I want to come up with this brand new idea for this lead magnet, or I'm going to give myself 3 options for this lead magnet. Making it structured so that you have a result that you want at the end of it. And then the time is like, I'm going to give myself 30 minutes or I'm going to give myself 15 minutes. Doesn't even matter. What matters is that you've decided what you're going to create inside of that time. In my opinion, that's more important than the amount of time.
This episode of A Productive Conversation is sponsored by 1Password. Imagine a world where forgetting passwords is no longer a hassle and your digital security is uncompromised. 1Password offers a robust, intuitive solution to manage all your passwords with just one master password, safeguarding your information across every device. This isn't just any password manager. It's a comprehensive security tool that encrypts your data, ensuring only you have access. With 1Password, you can generate strong, unique passwords for each of your accounts, store sensitive information securely, and even share important logins with family or colleagues safely. Recognized by Wirecutter as the top pick for password managers, 1Password is the preferred choice for enhancing your online security without the complexity. Enhance your digital security by visiting 1Password.com. And we have a special offer for listeners of A Productive Conversation. Right now, listeners of A Productive Conversation get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/productive convo. That's 2 free weeks at 1Password.com/productive convo. 1Password.com/productive convo. Check out what 1Password can do for you, your business, and even your family today.
Let's talk about parenting and kids and all that stuff. Now, how old are your kids, if you don't mind me asking?
My son is 12.
Mm-hmm. Yep. My son's 11. I've got a daughter who as of this airing is 17 and is driving. Holy smokes. And, and my son who is 11, he's going on 12. What change when you made these changes, when you decided to shift and unbusy your life and unbusy your schedule and just go down the path you're going down now, what changes did you see in your family, in your family life?
Yeah, I think really it's been about a lot of conversations about money, quite honestly, because when you are in the corporate world and you're working for someone else, there's so much of this sense of obligation. Like I have to have, we call this in the corporate world, like butt time, you know, like seat time, mm-hmm. time in the chair. Yep. Like you're there before everyone else and you're still there when everyone leaves. And it's like that conversation and having that model for my son for part of his life was good for him to see. But now so much of what we talk about in my house is about entrepreneurship and creating value inside of our time, not like how much time it takes. It is the value that we're creating, and that value is the thing that creates money. And there's different ways to create money, and we can do it fast if we want to, or we can do it slow. It's really up to us. So I think the biggest pivotal change has been the idea, breaking the connection between time and money, not only for myself, but also modeling that, having the opportunity to model that for my son. And now he and his little friend are starting a little business. And like, it's just sparked so many interesting conversations about the world and school and the model of school and, you know, what he wants his life to look like if he wants to be in a 40-hour work week, or does he want to like just do his own thing, create his own schedule? Like just some really rich conversations because of this big change that I've made.
What this dovetails nicely into the 10K in 10 hours thing that you have. So what we've been talking about qualitative productivity, for lack of a better term, in a lot of cases, like time is the secondary consideration. Yeah. And we could go down a rabbit hole about the time is money thing. There was a TikTok video that my friend Angela Crocker, who's also been on the show before, shared with me about how time is money as an aphorism is like one of the worst things that was ever created. Because it literally shaped society in a way that we still are dealing with. But that's the way the world. So 10K in 10 hours. I mean, what was the first off? I think I know the impetus behind it because you kind of revealed it a little bit in the story you just told. But why? Why was the like this? People need this because this will lead to X. So can we expand upon that?
Yeah. Totally. So part of my story that I didn't dive into is once I did scale back my corporate job work week to 30 hours, I started my own business on the side. Mm. And because I had already had this experience where I was creating a really good job, I was getting a lot of things done in a small amount of time, I took that over into my own business. So for me, I was able to create a very lucrative business, but working just about 10 hours per week. And as a coach, so this program is primarily for coaches, online course creators. It is most of us, maybe I don't even know if it's most, but many of us are doing this as like a career pivot, right? We already have an established life. We have a job. We have a family. We have all the things going on. But we have this desire inside of us to do this new and different thing. And so many use the idea that I don't have enough time to be able to do it. Mm-hmm. And so I want to remove that obstacle from anybody who has the desire to be a coach, to be a course creator, to go help people in the world because they think that they don't have the right number of hours to be able to do it successfully. So the whole idea behind this program is I show you how to set up the foundation of your business where it's making at least 10K and you're only working 10 hours per week.
Wow. So what I love about that, especially for people who are entrepreneurs, especially if you're listening to this and you're like, you know what, I need this. I need the encouragement to take the leap, right? Like I need the, because I can tell you when I left, I mean, I had my own business and I was running, you know, things were going okay, but there was no, it was time for money. It was me doing coaching. Like that was the thing, right? Yep. Because that's where the value is initially seen is, oh, this is happening in real time. Of course, now things have changed. We've got LMSs, we've got courses, we've got cohorts, all this stuff. That kind of thing is such a, it can be a real catalyst for making these leaps happen, right? That otherwise people might be tempted to stay in this area of comfort or, you know, stay locked into this frenetic level of busyness rather than start their own business instead, right? So before I let you go, the podcast, let's talk a little bit about that because we're on a podcast. So there are so many podcasts out there right now. I mean, I've been podcasting for a long, long time. We've talked about the impetus for you to, you know, make changes in your own life. We've talked about the impetus for you to create this program. Starting a podcast, what was the impetus for you to say, hey, you know what? I need to have these conversations too.
Yeah. So honestly, the reason why I started the podcast was as the project that I needed to complete for my Master Coach certification. So that was the reason why I started it. But the unbusy really came from me thinking about, like, what is the message of my life and what do I want to share? And it was so funny. My husband and my son and I were sitting down at breakfast one morning and he was talking about how busy he was. And I'm like, I'm so tired of this conversation about being busy. I'm just going to start talking about being unbusy. Mm-hmm. And so then that was kind of like what I used as the title of the podcast. And my whole goal is really to help people understand time, yes, but also their mind and how they feel and how they show up in their time. And we have conversations about money and about business and about health. I have my personal trainer coming on now. So it's really a very all-encompassing kind of unbusy lifestyle podcast.
It's, again, I think we need to have more of these conversations. I think people struggle with those words that we talked about off top, busy, productive, how to craft a life that is going to feel like it's the life that you're supposed to be living and the life you've meant to live as opposed to just going through the motions. So before I let you go, absolutely, if someone is looking to unbusy their schedule, unbusy their lives, unbusy, you know, what's going on today? What's one simple action? What single simple action they can take today?
I think it is changing the question that they've been asking themselves instead of how long should this take me? This is the biggest mistake that I see. Thinking about how long do I want to give myself? Number one, what do I want to accomplish inside of this time? And how long do I want to give myself to get this done? That is like pivotal foundational concept number one.
Excellent. And so that's your job right now, listener, is to ask that question. Yep. Change the questions. Questions is the best place to start. It's no question we've had a productive conversation today, Neil. Thank you so much. Where can people keep up with you and your work?
Yeah, so that, like we mentioned, they can follow me on my podcast, Unbusy Your Life, or you can go to my website at www.neilwilliams.com and find out about all of my offerings and all the things.
Neil, thanks for having a productive conversation with me today.
Thanks, Mike. It's been so fun.
Thanks to Neil for joining me on the show. You can check out everything that we talked about. Pick up all the links worth exploring. Just go to productivityist.com/podcast424 to make that happen. And the other thing that I'd love for you to do is subscribe to the show if you're not already doing so, because you will be able to go through the archives quickly and easily. Just hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you're listening to the show, make that happen. You could also do it at the podcast page that I just mentioned to you. The other page I'm going to mention to you now is a page that you can visit to support the show in another way, by checking out our sponsors. Go to productivityist.com/podcast sponsors to check out the sponsors that you heard today during my conversation with Neil. And that's another way you can help keep the lights on in this studio where a productive conversation takes place. That is it for this place in time for a productive conversation. I'm looking forward to our next episode. Next episode is going to be a great one. It is Jason Goldsmith. Looking forward to that one. That one kicks off the month of June. Can you believe that we are halfway through the calendar year of 2022 already? As of next episode, that's crazy to me. Or, you know, I guess we're almost halfway through. My year, of course, starts in September, but that's a story for another time. Until next time, I'm Mike Vardy, the host of A Productive Conversation, reminding you to stop doing productive and start being productive. See you later.